From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news. Late last week, federal health officials approved a third dose of the COVID-19 vaccine for people who have compromised immune systems. There's a specific list of people who qualify, and it's a relatively narrow slice of the public. But after that announcement, Juneau residents went looking for that third shot. Allison Gotchlick, a nurse with Juneau Public Health, says they got a lot of calls last week.
Well, and it made it a little bit complicated that the announcement came out on like Friday evening, basically. So then, you know, starting Monday morning, it was like people just sort of were like, okay, I'm ready for my third dose. And we're like, wait, it's not quite that simple, you know.
It turns out there aren't actually many places in town you can get one. Juneau Public Health is waiting on an updated medical directive, basically approval from the state health department. Even more confusing, you can make an online appointment for a third dose at Juneau Public Health.
Yeah, so for folks who've already, so the system that we use, those IT folks were really on it and went ahead and updated that software system to include an option for a third dose. It's making things a little bit complicated because now there's that option to register for your third dose, even though we can't technically provide it yet.
Gotchlick says if you call around to your primary care doctor, you might not have much luck there either.
You know, a lot of the doctor's offices in town had sort of stopped providing COVID vaccine. And so we are hoping that they will start ordering, you know, additional doses so that they can get their clients vaccinated with those third doses.
So where can you get a third dose? There are three places in Juneau currently offering them for immunocompromised people. Juneau Urgent Care, Genoa Healthcare, they both have Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, and Capstone Clinic at the airport only has Pfizer. Juneau Urgent Care wants people to call first, 907-790-4111. They're asking people to self-identify which category of immunocompromised they fall into, though you won't have to prove it. And Genoa Healthcare reports that people can make appointments online at myhealth.alaska.gov. They have Pfizer every day of the week and Moderna on Fridays. For a full list of who qualifies as immunocompromised for this vaccine, you can visit the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website or visit ktoo.org. A federal judge has reversed the Trump administration's environmental approval for ConocoPhillips' major proposed Willow Project on Alaska's North Slope. U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason said the Trump administration's approval of the project under the National Environmental Policy Act was flawed because of its failure to thoroughly analyze potential greenhouse gas pollution, and it didn't sufficiently consider legal protections for an important subsistence area on the North Slope. The ruling by Gleason, an appointee of former President Barack Obama, sets aside the project's approval by the Bureau of Land Management. It also vacates a formal opinion by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that said the project was not likely to jeopardize polar bears' continued existence and unlikely to harm their critical habitat. Willow, if built, could produce 160,000 barrels of oil a day, roughly a third of Alaska's current total production. And a zine centered on the LGBTQ community in Southeast Alaska started up this year, releasing its second issue this month. It's essentially a small-scale version of a magazine, filled with queer artwork, writing, and resources. As the pages of the project begin to unfold, the group behind the zine says they hope to create connections and build visibility. KRBD's Molly Lubers has the story.
So our issues have some heavy topics, and what we're trying to do is pair these heavy topics with queer joy.
That's Ryan McHale, thumbing through an issue of Loud and Queer. He founded the zine, which he says is largely by and for the Southeast Alaska LGBTQ community. It's published quarterly by the Ketchikan Queer Collective, but it's distributed beyond the First City to Craig, Juneau, Petersburg, and more. McHale says being queer can be hard, especially in the remote communities of Southeast Alaska. He says the zine may be the only way that someone can connect to the community.
It's really about proving our existence here and having a physical and tangible proof that we live here.
So he says flipping through the zine is exciting, but it's even more exciting to know how many other hands get to hold that proof. The collective sends Loud and Queer out to community institutions, like libraries and schools. At one point, Mikhail says a Ketchikan high school teacher relayed a story of one of her students finding the zine in her classroom.
She saw them physically have a reaction of just like shock and just amaze. They felt alone. And by reading this, they immediately felt connected. And I was like, wow, like that is exactly what we do this for.
Ketchikan Queer Collective's Joe Williams says he spent a lot of his life afraid to be who he is. Now, he says he hopes the zine will help people feel more comfortable with their queerness. That's sort of the motto of the title, he says. They're here, they're queer, and they're loud about it. He says it's an effort to reclaim the word queer, which can be a slur in some contexts.
You know, you hear the word queer, and some people may think it's funny, some people may laugh at it, but however you take it, it's going to cause some sort of response. We wanted to create a publication where, yes, you know what queer is, but do you know what it means? Do you know who we are?
Williams will be answering some of those questions with an advice column, Ask Anti-Queer, where people can write in to learn more about LGBTQ topics. But Williams also writes under his own name. His first submission focused on his experiences as a gay man in the Black community, and he says writing it felt freeing.
The first story I submitted was very personal, very emotional, and very raw, and very specific to me, but it's not a unique story in the overall arc of the LGBT community. There was a guy here in town, local. He told me that the article brought him to tears. It mirrored his own experiences.
Williams is a singer, so he says he's used to getting feedback. But he says the responses to his personal stories have hit him in a deeper way. And that feeling of freedom associated with getting to share your experiences has also been true for Ketchikan Queer Collective member J.D. Martin.
There's been a lot of times where myself as a queer woman, I haven't felt like my voice has belonged, either because I was in a heterosexual environment or I was in an environment that was purely lesbians or gay men. It's been really awesome to me to be able to contribute my voice.
Martin says Loud and Queer encourages anyone with a connection to Alaska to submit. They can send in whatever they care about and think would be meaningful to the community, whether that's art or poetry or photography. Along with those submissions, Martin says the Queer Collective compiles resources and gives breakdowns into queer theory. Mikhail says there would be no zine without submissions, and that ultimately he just wants Loud and Queer to act as a mirror towards LGBTQ people in Southeast Alaska.
We're like an echo of our community. When people send us that, we're then reflecting that back and saying, hey, this is what our community is. This is what we represent.
So far, there's about 50 pages of that community to flip through. But Mikhail says they're already looking for submissions for the next issue. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Molly Lubers.
The Biden administration will require nursing homes to mandate their employees be vaccinated against COVID-19 in order to receive Medicare and Medicaid funding, CNN reported on Wednesday. It's not clear what effect that could have on Alaska's nursing home, where about 75% of nursing home workers are already vaccinated. That's higher than the national average, and several large employers like Providence or the Alaska Native Medical Center already announced vaccine requirements. Jared Kosin, president of the Alaska Hospital and Nursing Home Association, says getting more Alaskans vaccinated is the best way out of the pandemic. But he says there's also a risk to requiring vaccines in nursing homes, which are already understaffed.
This has become very political and people have deep-seated feelings on it. And one concern we do have is this going to end up pushing some of the workforce outside of healthcare? Are they going to make the choice that rather than get vaccinated, I'm going to leave and go do something else? And if that happens, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
He says nursing homes around the state already have dozens of vacant positions after a year and a half in the pandemic. In Juneau, Wildflower Court sent a letter to residents yesterday saying that staffing has been a challenge, and because of that, they're not taking any new residents. They're also closing a portion of their nursing home and moving residents into open rooms in other homes.
We've seen significant fatigue among the workforce. We've seen a lot of workforce exit the market. You know, if you're anywhere near retirement, we're hearing people leave. We're hearing people leave for other jobs, and we're hearing people go back to school.
Without Medicaid and Medicare funding, Cosin says it's unlikely that any nursing home could stay open. The Biden administration hasn't released any details about the plan, including when it would take effect. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.